fortunate we are that Allah Ta'ala is all knowing. And Allah Ta'ala, although He doesn't need us, but He is grateful for whatever we do. Allah is Shakir and Allah is Alim. So just thinking, some of you would know Uncle Shakir Muqtasar Mahmoud. So when we were in Masjid al-Taqwa, so one time now the numbers of the Mu'takifin increased. Masjid al-Taqwa had a high roof. So now how are we going to accommodate all these Mu'takifin? He said, "No, Ma, don't worry, we'll make another floor." I said, "How are you going to do that? How are you going to make another floor?" He works with steel. And now there is Salaam, Lapak made steel like putty in his hands. So he works with steel. So he made the whole floor. Steel with steel and wood made a floor. So you have like now double story. So now again, now I'm going to accommodate the Mu'takifin and make 2 bikers for all the Mu'takifin. So I said, "No, no problem. We'll make something. We'll do something." So he made these 2 bikers. The Ajib thing, on the day that he was now working on it, on the day itikaf is starting, there were some delays or whatever. So now he couldn't get the sheeting. And it's public holiday. So I don't know where he phoned around, got somebody to open and get the sheeting. And then he managed out. Friday was hot day also, and this thing is a structure is quite big pieces, it's heavy to carry, made about 3 loads to the farm, brought the things, came here, setting up, plus Rosa also. However, now after setting it up, then we realize that, you know what, this galvanized sheathing may not be the best idea. Good for privacy, but now it's dark. It makes the place dark. And also it's noisy. Each time the door is opening and closing, it's noisy. But up to now, also, if somebody hits the side, maybe in his sleep, hits the side, he may get a shock or what happened. Yamal came here. They're waking me up already or what? It's a noisy thing. So obviously, person would feel disappointed. He's disappointed that now this thing never worked out. Not never worked out, may not be the best thing. But Allah Ta'ala don't look at that. Allah Ta'ala looks at your effort, with what niyat you did it. Because insan is not perfect. Insan's knowledge is not perfect. He can't know not what's going to happen in the front. At the time when he was doing it, he thought this is the best option. This is the best thing to do. And did it with heart and soul, with effort, whatever, get the thing sorted out. So Allah Pak looks at that. Provided what we're doing is not a guna. A person can't be doing a guna and say, "I'm doing it with a good intention." That a guna is a guna. Good works a person is doing. Sometimes his judgment is off. Sometimes may make a mistake with something, right? But his niyat was good. His niyat was good. So Allah Ta'ala will reward him. He's a friend of mine. Some of you may be knowing him. Musa. layer now is encased on them. So Maulana Musa and them, they built a masjid. But unfortunately, everything was on trust, word of mouth. You know? So the property on which they built the masjid was on somebody's personal name. But the person had given them his word that we will sectional title this thing and make it work. Now, you know, to sectional title something in our country, it takes very long. In the time of Sahaba Radhiyallahu Anhu, they cut it themselves. The sectional title and finish. You know, the whole Hadith Sharif, the estate of sold the land at Ghaba. The Sahabi was martyred in the battle for his son, Abdullah bin Zubayr. He told his son, must distribute, must pay my debts. So the father had left on the land at Ghaba, this called Ghaba. So he cut the land. Sectional title, and so. With all our technology and what we call advance and whatever, to sectional title, one property, something, can take you 2 years. So they had agreed that, okay, you build in the meantime, and later on we'll sectional title. But after the place was built, everything was done, now the person's turn. Now he said, no, my masjid. So it's a lesson to learn. You rather wait. Especially when you come to deen work, rather wait. Get your paperwork. So the person, he said, no, it's my masjid. So at that time, David asked me, now, should fight this person with the court for us? He told this thing, sure. He's going to fight over our masjid. What else is he going to use it for? He's going to use it for a masjid, isn't it? So your sawab is there, Karas, let him carry him. He want to be the trustee, the boss, so let him be the boss, let him carry. As long as namaz get read, people come for salah, your sawab is in the bag, what you worry? So they will be rewarded on their niyat, on their intention. What you are doing is a good thing. Understand? So that this year also, he will be rewarded on his niyat, whatever hours was put into it, whatever you sweated, whatever how you did it. Even though after that you may be a bit disappointed at the end product, that, you know, yeah, I should have done this, I should have done that. Right? But your reward is there with Allah Ta'ala. So always do good and do it with the right intention. Do good and do it with the right intention. Allah Ta'ala will reward us. It reminds me one day, as a point, but there's some Rahmatullah Ali. He had come to Peter Mansfield. There was a program taking place. So Azhar came and he attended that program. Now this was after Azhar Rahmatullah Ali's bypass. So when they did the bypass, so they removed the portion of the vein from the leg. Now generally people who go for this bypass, that troubles them a lot after that. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he couldn't sit for long after that, down on the floor. He couldn't sit for a short while, then he needed a chair. His leg used to travel. So I knew this, that now he can't sit down for long. But when Hazrat came, it was a big program. When he came into the masjid, there were no chairs. So he sat up. So I'm checking now. I said, no, he's not going to manage to sit. Let me go and find a chair. Now checking everywhere, this room, that room, trying to find one chair. You know, it's got so many chairmen these days, you're going to find a chair. So eventually, I found one chair in the madrasa side and bring the chair for me. So I'm walking to him, I must be about 10-15 meters away from him. And one person who was using a chair, he decided to leave the program. and ye born of the chain. Now you think, now, all my effort now was down the drain. I wanted to be the one to give the chain. Then you remind yourself that for who you did. If you did for Allah Ta'ala, then no problem. Allah is going to reward you on your effort, not on the natija. Understand? So always have a good niyat and do good things. Allah Ta'ala will reward on our niyat. Because no matter how good something comes out, it's still not perfect. Because we are insan, there will be some flaw. I was just thinking about this thing. I was actually wanting to phone Abu Shaki to thank him, because on Jumma it was all upside down and we were all getting now, you know, in a panic, because the Mutaqifin needed to get their things in. The staff one side, they so long, they're carrying these heavy things and coming, they fasting. Now, they not like us. See, we go home, a meal is ready. They, most of them, they are single. Now when they finish work, they have to go home, they still have to cook. And they're fasting. Okay? So all these things going through the mind. And now you need to get into itikaf also. So I didn't even get to meet him. After that, I didn't even get to meet him, telling him Rizal to him. Now after that, I'm just thinking that, you know, how fortunate we are that Allah is Shakir and Allah is Aleem. So many things you may do. Sometimes you may want to impress your wife, right? Meeting, alright. Do this for her, whatever. Right? Went out of your way for your guests, whatever. You did something. Now your ustad is coming home, for example. Now you went out of your way, prepared something. I remember one time I traveled with Hazrat Maulana Harun Abbas Umar Sam, Rahmatullah Ali. We went to Malawi. So Hazrat Maulana's one student was there at that time. So they had now the programs were taking place all different places, and then we had to all meet at this by Maulana's student's house. And now there they prepared they wanted to give a grind, you know, because they say Malawi steak, you know, one of the best steak, and Zambia steak, you know, people talk about things. So now they prepared the steak first thing now made. We went there and now they brought the steak for Maulana. So Maulana saw the steak, so he said, "Sir Mark, I got paresi. I can't eat steak." So then he told the host was an Alim also, Maulana's student, on a name Mullah. Now he's in Durban side. So he told the host, he says, "See, if you don't have anything else, don't worry. Just give me butter bread and tea." Because now maybe that's the only thing they prepared. So the host mustn't get now parishan. But you know, we didn't make anything else, don't worry. Just give me a cup of tea and butter bread, that's fine. But now the host must have felt like, hey. But then he told one, no, we got some other meats, some other things, chicken, whatever. Maulana said, "I can eat the chicken." So that they brought. The point here is the niyat. Have a good niyat and do good things. Allah will reward us on our niyat, on our effort. Outcome that is in Allah Ta'ala's control, what the outcome is going to be. Start sometime and put so much of effort into a student, right? He makes the student, with Allah's help, makes the student hafiz. 6 months down the line, the prayer for what is old Quran Sharif. He left madrasa, he didn't make door, he forgot his old Quran Sharif. Now if the ustad comes to know, 3 years put into this fellow, wasted. Not wasted. Your salam is there. Not other reward. A person made tarbiyat of his son, a correct tarbiyat. But the son went off after. Allah still rewarded you. Your effort was right. You made the right effort. Hazrat Muhammadur Haq Matra Sahib, Muhammadur Rakatu, he mentioned, a person opens a business. He follows all the laws of Allah Ta'ala. Doesn't get involved in interest, doesn't do anything doubtful, nothing haram, nothing. Everything, he follows everything, and he opens a business. And the business doesn't work out. He's a successful businessman. Because he didn't break Allah's command. He's a success, he didn't do anything wrong. So he's a successful businessman. Sometimes we become despondent. You know, we make some effort, and then we don't see the desired result or the fruit of it, and we get upset. We mustn't get upset. We must understand that I'm an insan, I'm a human, so I'm not perfect. I will have flaws, I will have my mistakes. A hafiz sometimes, he could learn his work. He knows it like waterman. He just, to come on musalla, he's making mistakes. And he's making mistakes he never made his whole life. One is a mutashabiyat, he knows his mark mistakes, he's learned everything. Why come on a musalla, he's making a mistake that he never made his whole life. Simple things now he's getting stuck. Now he feels crushed. If you did it for Allah, no need to feel crushed. Allah knows you learned. Allah knows you learned. Allah knows you know your work. Don't worry about anything else. Yes, let us continue the biography of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Sinan mentioned that Ubaid bin Adam heard Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu saying to Ka'b Ahbar. Ka'b Ahbar was a Jewish person who accepted Islam. He said to him that, where do you think I must read namaz in Masjid al-Aqsa? Now it is the king now, got the haram, right? Where do you think I should read namaz? So Ka'b Ahbar told him that if you take my opinion, I think you should read Salah behind the foundation stone. So this foundation stone is a rock located at the center of what they call the Temple Mount. It's the holiest site in Aqsa. So that rock behind that, so you read over here. At the same time, you will have Jerusalem in front of you, right? And at the same time, you will be facing Makkah Mukarrama. So this is somewhere now by what we call Dome of the Rock now. So Umar radiallahu anhu told him, no, you're competing with the Jews. You're competing with the Jews. I will read when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read namaz on the night of Mi'raj. I will go read there. So he faced Ka'batullah and he read his salah. Where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed salah. So, when you go now to Masjid al-Aqsa, now different guides will tell you different things, you know. This happened here, that by read two rakats every day. Now we don't know 100%, right? But now you have the hope that, you know what, okay, this is the spot. There is one place now where you're entering the Masjid proper on top. So on the left hand side is one staircase going down. So if you go down the staircase, you're like in a basement. So they say, you know, you go right to the front of that area, there's a place there, there's a small mihrab. So they say, no, this is a spot when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read his salah. Right? So Allahu A'lam. So if you go there, read namaz there. So, Ya Allah, if this is the spot that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read here, let me read here. If somebody else may tell you, no, that's not the right spot, this is the spot. What problem it is? You reading namaz for Allah Ta'ala, if it is the right place to, alhamdulillah, you get the tabarruk of that also. So he read namaz, now look, this is Amirul Mu'mineen. He faced the Kaaba Sharif, he read this namaz. After he read salah, what do you think he did? Umar radiallahu anhu, what do you think he did after he read namaz? He removed his jubba and he starts sweeping the haram. These are our examples. They are sahaba, not for nothing. Imagine Amir al-Mu'min, what a place they conquered now. He reached two rakas namaz in haram. He takes out his jubba and he starts sweeping. He's sweeping the haram. So the other sahaba radiallahu anhum and other Muslims who were there and they saw him doing this, they all also started sweeping. And they're sweeping the house. Masjidul Aqsa is the name of the entire masjid. Whole area there is known as the Haram, Masjid al-Aqsa. When Umar radiallahu anhu conquered Jerusalem, he found there's a garbage dump on the foundation stone. Now the garbage dump was placed there by the Christians. Why they did this? To insult the Jews. Because the Jews, their whole thing is about the temple now. So to insult them, the Christians threw garbage. The Christians were the rulers at that time. The Jews were living under them. So they used to throw garbage there. Umar radiallahu anhu ordered that all this filth must be removed. He asked Ka'ab Ahbad where to make the masjid for the Muslims. So Ka'ab suggested making it behind the foundation stone. However, Umar radiallahu anhu rejected this idea, saying that no, I will build it in front of it. We should have the front part of the masjid. We learn from here that you see, when Umar radiallahu anhu went, he didn't go there and break all the churches and break the synagogues and chase the Jews out and massacre them. It was a peaceful handover. And by you got your place of prayer, you can. You got your place of prayer, you can. You want to accept Islam, our arms are open for you. Right? But you will live according to Islam's law. The law that will govern the place will be the Sharia. You will live under us. You will live in peace. The only time there was peace in Aqsa was when Muslims ruled. When Muslims ruled, then all the religions lived in peace. They could all carry on peacefully. Any other religion that ruled, they oppressed those who were not the rulers. If the Christians ruled, they oppressed the Muslims and the Jews. If the Jews ruled like today, they oppressed the Christians and the Muslims. Only when the Muslims ruled, there was no oppression. The other thing we learned is, you see, there's no interfaith. Islam is the only faith, the only deen. There's no interfaith. There's no Abrahamic accords. You see, Umar radiallahu anhu, when he came, the Christians, it was namaz time to read namaz. So the Christians told him, all right, you can read here in our church. That church there is the place where they say that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was born. Another thing, I just mentioned to you, just digress a little bit. Many people go to Palestine, to go to Aqsa, and then you go with the guide. So the guide now, he knows he must take you on a tour. Now one is if it is an alim from South Africa or something, then he will educate. But sometimes people just get a guide. Now those guides, they are guides. Whether it's misguide or guide, but they are just guides. Right? So they take Christian groups, Jewish groups, whoever is there, they get to make a few shekels. Right? So whoever wants a tour, we take you around. No problem. So they take you to every place. Now they'll take you to this church also. Now our people, they go inside the church. Now why do we go into churches? What job we got in the church? But they don't think at that time. The other thing is sometimes you go to different kubur. Now the ladies to go even the kubur. Do we go at all? We don't go. But because we are on a tour, we don't think these things. So Allah Ta'ala takes you, then keep these things in mind. Remember these things. So Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, he let everybody live in peace. And there was no oppression on anybody. In the meantime, while all this is happening, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu's intelligence operatives reported that the Romans are regrouping under instruction from Heraclius. The commander saw it fit to keep his army abreast of the latest developments, so he called up a conference of his field commanders and men with expertise in strategic matters. You see, Sahaba, they were very organized. They were not just slapdash. Although Umar non came, all this is taking place. But they still got the finger on the pulse. They just conquered this area. Homs was one of the last places because the Roman army, when they were driven out of all the other places, there was a big part of the Roman army stationed at Homs. Right? But if any time reinforcements are required, they can go to any area where reinforcements are required. So whenever they were vanquished, the army is vanquished from this city, all those soldiers ran to Homs. Eventually the Muslims conquered Homs also, right? But there was still a large group of the soldiers there. So what happened here is now they started regrouping and thinking they're going to retake Homs. It's still called Homs even up to today. So Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu anhu was against withdrawing from the city. He said, can the Romans imagine causing their enemy a greater harm than what you are doing to yourself by leaving the land which Allah Ta'ala made you conquer? A land where the ablest commanders were made shaheed along with their armies. By Allah, if you want to enter it after leaving it, you will have you will have difficulty to retake it. So don't come out. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, when he heard this suggestion of Muaz radiallahu anhu, he said, by Allah, he has spoken the truth. In other words, he agreed with his suggestion. However, the events proceeded in a different direction. The Muslims returned the jizya to the people of Homs, which they had previously collected from them. Abu Ubaidah commanded Habib bin Muslimah, return to the people of the city the jizya which we had been collecting from them. We do not deserve to take anything from them if we cannot provide them protection. That we take jizya from them because of the service that we are rendering. Not we just taking jizya from them to get rich. When we take jizya from a people, then we must offer them protection. We have to defend them, right? Now, if we're going to leave the city, we can't offer that. So take all the jizya, give it back to them. I think SARS even came back. The take was not theirs also. You don't give nothing back. A lot of people say you mustn't claim. If you make a claim,
then they really now investigate too.
So to the people of Homs, he said, we still adhere to the peace between you and us. We will not breach it except if you do not retain the peace. But we returned your money because we are unable to defend you. That's why we returned your money. We will retreat to some other place and send for our brothers who will come, and we will face the enemy together. If Allah Ta'ala grants us victory in this battle, we will resume our treaty with you, unless you decide not to resume it, not to continue. The next morning, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu instructed the troops to march towards Damascus. Habib bin Muslimah stayed behind to convey Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu's message for them and return them the money. The people of the city started saying, may they won't say Allah, right, because they're not Muslim, they say God. Say, may God make you return to us. And may He curse the Romans who used to rule over us. These are Roman people, non-Muslim people. But the little bit of taste they got when being governed by the Sharia, by true people, sincere men of Allah, they cursing their own leaders. They saying, may they get ruined and may you come back to rule over us. We rather have you ruling over us. By God, had they been in your shoes, they wouldn't have returned a penny to us. They would have taken the money, everything, and went. They would have taken more to and went. On the contrary, they would have taken away whatever they could of our wealth. Your alliance and justice is dearer to us than their tyranny and their greed. Wallahi, if Muslims just have to show the example of deen, the kuffar themselves will come fall at the feet of the Muslims and say, please rule over us. That's what happened in so many areas. The Muslims came, they conquered area, and at first the kuffar are apprehensive. They don't know what's... But when they hear from their counterparts how these Muslims are ruling, as soon as the Muslim army comes, no, but you please come and rule over us. Come and rule us. We want to be ruled by. The fault is on our part. That we, instead of establishing our deen, we fit into the system of the kuffar. We fit into their system, instead of establishing the law of Allah. That night, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu sent Sufyan bin Auf to Umar radiallahu anhu and said to him, go to Amir al-Mu'mineen, convey my salam to him. Tell him what you have seen and what you have observed, and also what our intelligence have told us, the spies that you said, and what information they brought. Inform him of the definite information we have about the large troop concentration the Romans are building and that the Muslims have agreed to retreat. He also gave him a letter addressed to Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is the letter. My intelligence operatives have come from the enemy's land, in particular from the place Caesar is staying at. They have told me that the Romans are headed towards us and have prepared such a humongous army, the likes of which they have never prepared before against any nation. I gathered the Muslims to inform them of the developments and to seek their opinions. They came to the unanimous conclusion that we should retreat until we learn of your opinion, what instruction you give us. I am sending you a man who has knowledge of the previous events. Ask him whatever you wish, as he is both knowledgeable and trustworthy. I seek the help of Allah Ta'ala, the Almighty, the All-Knowing. Allah Ta'ala is sufficient for us, and He is. This is what the people of Aqsa, they are reading all the time. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. So Umar radiallahu anhu wrote to Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu was in Iraq. Explained to you that Muslim army was spread out in the Levant, different parts of the Levant. Asked for volunteers to go on a mission with Ka'ka bin Amr and let them proceed towards Homs on the day you received this letter. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu has been surrounded there. Umar radiallahu anhu has kept reserve cavalry in each city as a precaution against unforeseen wars. Example, Kufa, the famous Iraqi city on the Euphrates, had a cavalry of 4,000. Sa'd radiallahu anhu prepared the army as he was asked. The letter also read, send an army with Suhail bin Adi to the island. So this island was an area in Iraq between the Tigris and the Euphrates. Right? It borders the Levant. So he should proceed to Ritpa, as the people of the island are the ones who instigated the Romans to attack Homs. So go cut off the route. But before the islanders, the people had Qasqariya. The people at Qasqariya had done the same. So send Abdullah bin Abdullah Utban to Nasibin. As the people of Qasqariya were the ones who started this trouble. The region of Harran and Raha on the island should be cleansed of bandits and enemies. Send Walid bin Uqbah to the Arab tribes of Rabi'ah and Tanuh on the island. Send Iyad bin Ghanam, whom I have appointed the overall commander of this campaign in the event of war. Now, while I'm reading this to you, we're not even going to remember these names in 5 minutes' time. What I'm reading it to you is to appreciate the genius of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. When he was in Madinah Munawwara, the battle was taking place here in the Levant. Every instruction was coming from him. What to do, how to do. At every juncture, Abu Ubaidah Nawn is sending message to Umar Nawn. Umar Nawn is giving instructions. Do this, do that, do that. So Ka'ka sent out, he set out now towards Homs with his 4,000 cavalry. Iyaz and the other commanders of the island campaign, they also set out. Umar radiallahu anhu also set out from Madinah Munawwara with an army to help Abu Ubaidah Rinnan at Homs. He camped at Jabia near Damascus. When the people of the island who had collaborated with the Romans in besieging Homs learned that the Muslim forces had set out from Iraq, they became perplexed. They didn't know whether these forces are headed towards Homs or whether they are headed towards the island. Hence the islanders abandoned the siege. They abandoned the siege and broke ranks with the Romans. They instigated the thing, so now they were told. They hurried back to their homes on the island. Thus the Romans were left alone to fend for themselves. When Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu saw the flight that these islanders now, they left, they ran away. He consulted with Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Look at the, this is an amazing thing in our history. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was the overall commander. Right? Umar radiallahu anhu removed him from being the overall commander and appointed Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. I don't want to go into the history of at the time when it happened, what took place. But even after that, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he doesn't find it below him to consult with Khalid. He knows what a genius Khalid is, a war strategist. Now he's not showing to have me, I'm the commanding general. No, no, you, I'll do my things. He is still consulting, he keeps Khalid bin Nawn very close to him, every step of the way.
consult with him, what's your opinion, what should we do? You know, Umar radiallahu anhu made a statement. He said, I never removed Khalid radiallahu anhu from his post due to any deficiency in him. So the only reason I removed him is for the iman and the yaqeen of the people. That the people, Allah Ta'ala has given so many victories to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, that the people, they started pinning their hopes on him. But if he is there, we can't lose. So Umar now said, no. Their hopes must be on Allah Ta'ala. Hopes must be on Allah Ta'ala. That's the only reason I changed. Put Abu Ubaidah and remove Khalid in here. So Khalid radiallahu anhu advised that, see, the time right now is ripe to attack these Romans. So right now, psychologically they're broken. So their confederates now deserted them, they ditched them and ran away. So now they're at a low point. They still have to regroup and discuss now how we're going to fill the shortcoming. So now is the time to hit them. So the Muslims charge towards the Roman legions, and Allah Ta'ala gave them victory over the Christians. Qa'qa bin Amr with his Iraqi cavalry of 4,000 from Kufa arrived 3 days after the battles. Meanwhile, Umar radiallahu anhu also arrived at Jabiya. The Muslims wrote to him about the victory and the fact that the reinforcements arrived 3 days after the conflict. Now what to do in this regard? Now why what to do in this regard? Look at their honesty. Sahaba Allah subject us. They got married Ghanimat now. Now, these people also came with the intention of battle. They endured expense. They traveled and came. So are they also mustahik? Are they also, do they have a haq? Do they have a right in the Maal-e Ghanimat? Must they also be included in the distribution? Because on the one hand, they didn't take part in the battle. So if they never take part in the battle, that means they got no right to the Maal-e Ghanimat. But on the other hand, they traveled and came, and they cavalry, they came with horses, it's expensive. Right? So must they also get a share in the Maal-e Ghanimat? So Umar radiallahu anhu wrote back, he said, give those who joined you late a share also in the Maal-e Ghanimat. Since they had already left their camps to come and help you, they came to help you, and the enemy fled in fright of them. It was a strategic move of Umar radiallahu anhu that dispatched this cavalry, these people will get cold feet. May Allah Ta'ala reward the people. Not only do they discharge their duties in their own areas, but they reinforce other areas as well. Umar now prays to this cavalry. They were stationed in their place, but they came to your area. They didn't only worry about their area, they came to your area also to come and help you, so include them in the Maal-e Ghanimat. When we reflect upon this ingenious war plan drawn up by Amir al-Mu'mineen to bewilder the enemy, war, what is the fight? But a lot to do with the war is psychological warfare. Your planning. How to put the enemy on a back footing. This is exactly what Umar radiallahu anhu did by dispatching those armies. He was a genius. He was a genius. As we mentioned earlier, the inhabitants of the island had attacked Homs and they had besieged Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu and his troops therein. And Umar radiallahu anhu had ordered Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, his commander in Iraq, to reinforce the garrison at Homs by sending an army from Kufa to Homs as well as sending other units to the island to go and cleanse the island of all the bandits there. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu sent an army under the command of Ka'ka bin Amr from Kufa and various units to the island under the command of Iyaz bin Ghanam. Hence the unit under the command of Suhail bin Adi took the Furat road to arrive at the border city of Riqqa and laid siege to them. The inhabitants of Riqqa saw themselves sandwiched. They are between the Muslim forces in the Levant and Iraq, in the center, and hence took the better part of valor by suing for peace. So they just entered into a peace treaty. Meanwhile, the unit commanded by Abdullah bin Abdullah took the Tigris road to arrive at Nasibin. They also sued for peace. They did not fight. As the cities of Riqqa and Nasibin came under Muslim rule, the commanders Iyaz, Suhail and Abdullah joined their forces to advance towards Harran and conquered all the areas in between. When they reached Harran, the people there, they are agreeing to pay jizya. They say, please take jizya from us and rule us. Thus, the whole island was conquered peacefully, no fighting. They all just surrendered, sued for peace, and said, we live under your rule. So that was the conquest of the Levant. Two more conquests left, one is of Egypt and